after the game, Coach Kelly talked about one down, one to go. And, you know, our mindset each week has been very, very narrow in terms of our focus. All our focus is on Detroit and making sure we put the players and coaches, we put the best version of ourselves on the field on Sunday so that we can play well and hopefully win. And so can't do that unless you prepare well, and that's why today and the rest of the week is very important. So that's where we're at. Be happy to take your questions.
I think Nick in the second half was like 6 out of 14, had the pick that was called back for 60 yards, something like that. What did you see from him in that half? Was it him doing anything different, or was it just the circumstances?
No, our mindset in terms of how we were playing offense was the same as the first half. We were trying to move the ball and score points. We were running the ball. We were throwing the ball. We didn't execute at a high level like we did in the first drive, the drive before the half, and then, of course, the drive to start the second half. So I wouldn't read into that.
This Detroit defensive line, what do you see from them on tape?
Well, they're very, they've been talked about great, you know, for all the right reasons. I mean, Farley and Sue, and then they got numerous defensive ends that they're good at, you know, they're good. They try to create pressure with a four-man rush and then play coverage behind it that's not quite as, they don't put themselves at risk at times for big plays. And they're good players. They're good pass rushers, but I know our guys will be up to the challenge blocking them.
Is everything they do based off the two big guys up front today, is that like where it all starts?
Well, I mean, that's they'll talk about that. When you have four rushers that can get pressure, then, you know, you don't have to do as many crazy things in the back end, or you don't have to pressure near as much as you would if you don't have dynamic guys that can rush the passer.
Man, are they wide nine 100% of the time?
No, I mean, that scheme, you know, you could probably characterize that scheme. I think, here we go again, we want to take somebody's scheme and make it one phrase, but they play a nine technique a good bit of the time, but they'll also play a six and a seven.
The fact that they ran that scheme here for 2 years, does that help the linemen who have been here kind of know what to expect? The offensive linemen know kind of what's coming at them?
No, throughout, you know, the last few years, all the way back to when Monty Kiffin was coaching at Tampa Bay, it was that type of scheme where they play a nine technique and rush the passer. You know, the defensive line coach that was here a year ago, Jim Washburn, has familiarity with what they're trying to do in Detroit from being with Schwartz back in Tennessee. So, you know, we all kind of cross paths on that. Our guys are used to blocking it from the years, you know, from last year, of course, but we've faced it throughout.
What's the biggest difference with Zach Ertz? Is he just becoming more and more comfortable and confident with football at this level?
Well, I think he's getting better each day, you know, and I think, you know, production comes in bunches, and he had some opportunities last Sunday and made the best of them, but he's getting better and better each day. He made a handful of mistakes in the game on Sunday, just like every player and every coach, and so he's got things he needs to get better at, but he had opportunities to catch the football, some of them in tight coverage, and he made good plays.
We saw Brad Smith in that one play, you know, inside the 10-yard line.
Sure.
What's the vision for using him within the offense? What do you see as, you know?
Yeah, that was just a play that we put him in there. Thought we could maybe utilize his skills that, he did those types of things when he was in college, and he's done it in other places that he's been, but that's it. We're just trying to get our guys on the field and use their skills to the best of their ability.
A couple of players were saying after the Cardinals game that the Cardinals defense did a pretty good job of really figuring things out pretty early, and it seemed like they were, you know, right on top of plays. You have to go back and maybe kind of fix what you're thinking.
No, I don't know that. I mean, they're a very talented defense, and they made some plays against us. We made some plays against them. It was 3rd and 12 when we chose to call a screen, and somebody came to the sideline and said they were calling it out. Well, every time it's 3rd and 12, everybody on defense says, watch the screen, watch the draw. So, you know, I don't know. That was a joke, by the way. But that actually happened, you know. So.
How important is route running when you have guys running crossing routes and rub routes to get defenses out of man?
No, that's one way to beat man coverage. You know, we have a handful of plays that we go to if we're getting a team that's playing a bunch of man against us. Just like we have routes that we call when we're getting the team that's playing predominantly zone. And then there are routes that you'll call that are good against, you know, man or zone coverages, depending on what the progression is and who you want to get the ball to.
How do you teach the, on those rub routes, how do you teach the receivers to run those so that they're not flagged, or what's kind of legal and what's not legal on those?
Well, there's a difference between, I don't know what the right word is, rubs, or, you know, where you're, two guys are running really close to one another. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a choice of words I got to use. But you want to run really close to one another. That's what you want to do.
What do you want to
do? And then there's other ones where they're just pure crossing routes where there's guys are just running across the field under or over one another. So you just want guys to run really close to one another so the guy covering them's got a bow over the top.
When you see Riley Cooper make that one-handed catch that he made the other day.
Awesome, wasn't it?
It was pretty good.
Yeah.
Has he kind of like exceeded your expectations this season?
Just well, I from the beginning, and again, I wasn't with Riley when I was here before, but from the beginning, he's impressed me. I like big guys, you know. And he's a big guy, and he finds a way. When it gets thick out there, and as the game goes on, everybody kind of gets tired. Riley doesn't get smaller. You know, and I think big guys find a way to make plays when there's people around them. That specific play, I was like, oh, no, great catch. You know, it was one of those type of deals. And, you know, Riley's a tough guy. And tough guys find a way to make their best plays when the game was thick. I mean, that was a tough game.
Yeah, but the offense has not scored in the fourth quarter in the last five games. What do you see there? Is there a common thread?
I don't know if there's a common thread. In a couple of games we were playing, we were trying to melt the clock. You know, there were a couple games we were, you know, so, you know, I wouldn't see that being the thread. There's been times when we've been ahead and we've done a better job of chewing clock and moving the ball, and then there's been a couple games that we didn't, and so that's what you work on.
When you are in clock killing mode, you know, even against Arizona and then even in successful drives against the Packers and the Buccaneers, uh-huh. It varies on the time that you have left on the play clock when you're snapping the ball. Sometimes it's 5, 4, 2, and then as many as like 10 and 12 seconds. Is that to kind of keep the defense off balance and not letting them, you know, not letting them know when the ball is going to be snapped?
No, I mean, when you're in that mode, and again, I'm not saying that's where we were at. You know, we were trying to move the ball and score in this pass game. But when you're in four-minute mode, you know, it's kind of the industry phrase, as you know, then you obviously want to try to snap the ball with the clock running as close to zero as possible. That's what you're trying to do because you're trying to chew up as much clock as possible, of course, move the ball, and then, of course, eventually get a first down or score. So, and then there's other times when you're just playing and for whatever reason, the strategy is to get in the best play, and it may take a little longer than if you're playing with tempo.
When you play tempo, is it any more difficult to slow down than if you didn't? I mean, when you get to a fourth quarter with a lead after playing a game with, you know.
Yeah, no, that's a good question. You know, we've talked about that. I think, you know, we're used to playing fast at times, and then we're used to playing, for us, what is normal speed being a no-huddle operation. And then, you know, I think we've effectively, in a couple of games, done a good job of really slowing it down where we're in four-minute mode. So, you know, the challenge for us is to be efficient no matter what we try, whatever pace we try to play at.
How anxious were you to see how Nick would do against the defense of that caliber, and how do you feel like he performed?
I thought Nick, you know, played well. I mean, he obviously contributed in a positive way to us winning. He had a handful of things, some of them obvious to all of us, that, you know, he would like to have back. But those corrections are easier to make when you win the football game. You know, and then when you lose, and so he's like everybody on the team. You know, we made a heck of a lot of mistakes in that game, especially on offense, and we got to get it corrected.
When you're evaluating sacks that a quarterback takes, Chip mentioned this yesterday, how he thought some instances Nick did the right thing in eating the ball and taking the sack. How do you figure out when he's making the right decision there and not trying to force the ball? When do you say, oh, he's holding the ball too long, he needs to get rid of it there?
Well, there are times when they just absolutely swamp you. That happens to all good teams. It happens to everybody. At times when you drop back to pass, you may get a hat on everybody, but they just they do a good job of whatever they're doing with the pressure and the timing it up. And every once in a while, depending on what the route is called, you may have a hat on everyone, but it just collapses around you and you can't get out. There are times when you take a sack there. Now, we coach them not to. You know, try to get the ball off on time. Use your feet to scramble. Even get out of the pocket if you can. Make a play. Keep a downfield focus. We coach all those things. But there are times when, you know, you just do get sacked. And so it's a little bit subjective when we look at it, you know.
In the past few years, and this year in particular, have you seen any changes in the way pass interference is called and how pass interference is called in defensive holding too?
Well, I have my definition of it, you know, and I think, you know, there's really talented guys running really close to one another all the way down the field, you know, and, you know, as long as the defender's trying to make a play on the ball, typically there's PI is not called, but, you know, again, it's very subjective, and, you know, I think you can argue some of the calls made and some of the ones that aren't made, and, you know, it's a game played by humans, officiated by humans, and everybody's trying to be perfect, and I think we all know what the rules are, I think the league and the officials do a great job of officiating.
Do you think they're allowing defensive backs to maybe clutch and grab a little more? A lot of players have talked about this recently. Do you think they're allowing them a little more this year than years past?
I wouldn't say no.
Do you guys review the tape and look at the plays and send certain ones to the league office? Like,
yeah, we have a process we go through at the end of the game, and then, you know, we let coach handle that.
How about away from the ball? Is there more contact allowed?
I don't know. That'd be hard to say. There's a lot of, you know, when you're playing man-to-man coverage, you know, everybody's running with somebody. And, you know, we all have arms, and we tend to use them, you know, both sides, you know.
Pat, going back to what they were talking about with the crossing routes, is that something in training camp, the precision of running the route right, to get the, is that spacing, or is that kind of innate when guys are running, they just know they can't run into each other? Do you have to work on that specifically a lot during camp, especially when you have new personnel?
Well, you're getting back to the ones where we go really close together, right?
Yes.
Those kind of deal. Well, we have parameters, right? If you and I are going to run really close together, then we would tell one guy you go over, one guy you go under. You know, there's a little bit of precision to that. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's just as easy as don't run into that guy when you're crossing?
Sometimes. Yeah, sometimes. Yeah. I'm feeling where you're going there, but I don't know how to explain it any better than that.
Arians,
don't run into each other.
Bruce Arians said that he sent 15 plays from this past game to the officials.
Yeah.
Was there a similar number from you guys, or did that speak to just...
We talk about every play that's run in the game on offense. And then, you know, Billy does the same thing on defense, and then Fipper does the same thing on special teams. And then it goes to Coach Kelly. That's a better question for him.
Okay.
We good? All right. Good.